Okay, here we go. Page 559, first paragraph on the page says, it says the prophet Isaiah, or says the prophet Isaiah, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. Of course, that's Isaiah 8, verses 19 and 20. Top of the room, it says Sabbath Eve. You click that, it'll bring you right to the page I'm on, 559. It's always up there. That in heavenly places, I usually update those. But here you go, sister. I can put it in the room for you if you want. Oh, there you go. Somebody beat me to Mick and Antoinette. Thanks. They beat me to it there. Okay. But thanks for mentioning it, because there are some new people here that don't know that. And I want to say hi to all the new people there. It's nice to have so many smiling faces. So, okay, going on. She says, if men had been willing to receive the truth so plainly stated in the scriptures concerning the nature of man and the state of the dead, they would see in the claims and manifestations of spiritualism the working of Satan with power and signs and lying wonders. And this is one of the reasons I did that State of the Dead video many years ago. A sister in the faith approached me one day, and she says, you know, I like the videos and all that. That's all great, but I think you need to make a video about the state of the dead, because, and she had some pretty good reasonings, but shared with me some stuff from Sister White and how this was going to be used in a major way in our day. And I thought, yeah, I'm a very good idea. And so I went for it, and I did it, and praise the Lord, it's been used quite a bit since. But, and then I also want to praise the Lord, too, that Pastor Craig took the 7 series, you know, those 7 DVD, 7 videos that I made many years ago, and put them on a video called 7. 7 videos. he redid them all. I mean, he kept the audio. All he did was redid the graphics, because I was just, you know, zipping through it real quick, and I pulled out stuff that was pixelated. I was in a hurry just to get the message out. And so now there's a section on YouTube that they're all, HD, high definition. And that's the ones I send people to all the time now. And that's why the numbers aren't as huge on those as the other ones are, because they're fairly new, a couple of years old. But this also strikes me deep, because before I was a Christian, I used to mess with manifestations. I used to get into the occult. You know, I wasn't always hanging out in the bar shooting pool, you know. I was, you know, I did a lot of stupid stuff, especially in wintertime. I ain't going out there, it's too cold. You know, I lived up in the Chicago area. And they call it the Windy City for a reason. I worked in the Loop for 4 years. If you want wind, go to the Loop. Ain't no trees growing on Lake Michigan. So when that jet stream comes, it dips down low. And I can understand how the Edmund Fitzgerald didn't last in that kind of wind. And, I mean, you coming down, and I've seen people, it's why people use umbrellas in Chicago. It just boggles my mind. I says, you know, you just blew $100. It's a nice umbrella, but look, it's already a block away. And in half, you know, backwards. But I remember when I was a kid, well, this is one of the reasons I believe I was going through what I was going through for so many years, because as a very young child, I witnessed something. I was in the presence of something that I, to this day, I hope I never would have seen. And it was demonic, literal manifestation. And then when I got to be a teenager, I figured, hey, this stuff's cool, you know. You know how bad is cool and good is bad and all that stuff. And yeah. I grew up in the 70s. I mean, it's not that much different from today's world. It's just now you've got cell phones. Sin is still sin, no matter what. Nothing changes. Not new under the sun. I've seen some pretty crazy things. And what really shocked me as a Christian is when I saw the Vatican sanctioning Harry Potter. But then, you know, it has to happen, because the prophecy stated it would. That's why I wrote that one book called People Get Ready. One of the last prophetic statements that I have outlined in that book that were made in Scripture. Of course, I don't claim to prophesy. it's in the book. I just try to teach prophecy, if you will. But in there, I have that one section where it talks about how in the last days there's going to be an upsurge of occultic activity. And so Rome did what it did to sanction Harry Potter so far as to actually call him a Christ-like figure, which is it was considered to be, and this is what really, and these are the signs of the times, though. Had he said, had he made that statement in the 1940s or 50s, oh, they would have just run him out of town. But the Vatican knows what they're doing because Satan's helping them do it. You got to test the people first. This is why they do the things that they do. They always test the waters first. You know, even politicians, you know, the demographics. They got to get the, or, you know, advertising companies, they do the demographics. Hey, you got to test the people. What do you think is going to sell? Well, let's try it. Let's throw that out there. So they're going to know. They're going to know how to play you. And so the devil's out there, and he's doing his signs and lying wonders. And so when you see dead grandma at the end of your bed at night, if you've never read the Bible, you think it's grandma because it smells like her, talks like her, acts like her, talk, you know, everything. It's just grandma. And so that's why I did that video, because a lot of people don't realize that when you die, you stay in that grave. Now, there are, you know, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23 do talk about a specific group of people that, like when it goes to so far as to say every man in his own order. Again, the Lord doesn't mince his words. So think about Elijah, Enoch, Moses, the people that came out of the graves when Jesus did. Okay. Or even, you know, our Lord and Savior himself, because he, you know, literally died and resurrected. So everybody in their own order. The overwhelming majority of people that die will stay in those graves until that eastern sky splits. But Satan doesn't want them to think that way. He wants them to believe that it's grandma on the edge of your bed. And so he gets the Vatican and all the other churches that fall into line with them to declare, you know, that when you die, you go to heaven immediately, or you go to hell right away, or if you're Catholic, purgatory. And so when you're there, you're going to have an opportunity to be prayed to. That's why 2 years after Ellen White died, Fatima happened. Our Lady of Fatima, 1917. When the Vatican declared that there was an apparition, a woman named, at first she called herself the Lady of the Rosary, and then she went on from there, and you know, finally she did say she was Mary. Well, actually, it's a demon claiming to be Mary. And that's why I did that page on the website called That's Not Mary. Let me just look at what she says and what the Bible says. It's that easy. But Catholics don't read Bibles. And to make it even more effective, that demon that appeared to little kids. Not only are they Roman Catholic, which means they're not taught scripture, they're little kids. They're not going to understand it anyway. And so, that's how it was very effective, you know, to that extent. And it's still happening to this day with Medjugorje, Garibaldi, Hillside. I mean, this demon is just popping up all over the place, burning, you know, little images into tacos shells and stuff that look like Jesus, or stains on the side of a subway that look like Mary, and you know, and that's just happenstance though. 99% of that stuff is like, okay, the gas plasma leaked out of the window and now it looks like Mary holding a baby in Champaign, Illinois. So let's just shut down traffic so we can all pray the rosary out in the middle of the street. No, they had to pull that window. It got ridiculous. The people would just worship it. Literally. Oh, we're not worshiping it. You're kneeling in front of it and praying to it. It's just like kneeling in front of a statue of Mary and praying to it. They don't understand worship because they don't read their Bibles. But she goes on. But rather than... And this has to do with the signs and lying wonders. That's why I went into it. And then she goes on. She says, but rather than yield to the liberty so agreeable to the carnal heart and renounce the sins which they love, multitudes close their eyes to the light and walk straight on, regardless of the warnings, while Satan weaves his snares about them, and they become his prey. That is today's world in a nutshell, right there. I mean, come on, you got a Bible out there, and, oh, who'd have thought, you got the Internet. Because, yeah, we all know the history books have been corrupted. Even in the 70s, I knew that, as a teenager. Because I remember reading encyclopedias when I was a kid, and I know certain things about the history of this nation that were totally changed by the time I was 14, 15, you know, in high school. Today, forget about it. It's all fiction. It's just a way to indoctrinate the people so that they can mold society towards their end. This is why, you know, like for example, homosexual laws and marriage. 20 years ago, they were pushing homosexuality in the schools. That's why we pulled our kids out of the schools. I think it was 25 years ago we did. No. Yeah, it was about 25 years, I think. Yes, it was a few years before we started keeping Sabbath. We pulled the kids out and started homeschooling them. That's when I was doing the computer work for that one prison ministry. And so, yeah, they've been doing this a while. And so, the government, it's government schools. And so the government school is going to do what they do to indoctrinate the children, because guess what, people? Children become adults. It's a funny thing, but it actually happens. And they grow up and they start voting. But now they're going to vote in a direction the government wants to vote in, because they have been taught that homosexuality is okay, Islam is okay, and all this other stuff. So, and then she quotes here, but the thing here that gets me the most about this is whether people are walking straight on. I remember this about 2 or 3 years ago. I was out getting some computer peripherals for some issue that I had up near Chicago, and my wife was there with one of the kids, and they dropped me off at a store, and I went in and I got what I had to get, and I got out, and I waited for them, and I just stood outside, just up against the wall waiting for them, because they went to a different store, and they took the car. So I'm just standing there, and I'm looking at the people, and I went into prayer, because it was about that time of the day, and I noticed, and I said, you got to be kidding me. These people are just walking around like they ain't got a care in the world, just like she says here. Their eyes to the light have been shut. They walk straight on, regardless of all the warnings around them. It's like I said in my little blurb today in regards to that one article. All these prophecies that have happened over the last, just say, 40 years, they weren't fulfilled just to make Christianity look good. You know, I mean, most people hate Christianity today, you know? And so they weren't done to make Christianity look good. They were there to warn the people, you got to get ready. You got to make your path straight. Jesus is coming back. And there's a strong possibility it could be in your generation. Now, we don't know the day or the hour. We know what's going to happen next. We just don't know when. You know, because the Lord can throw a monkey wrench in anything that they plan. I mean, do you recall the Real ID? It originally was set to be enforced, I think it was 2008, and then 2009, and then 2010, and they just backburnered it ever since. But that Real ID was a definite way for them to control the people a lot more than people wanted to be controlled. I mean, everything from biotechnology was in, you know, like your irises they could use for ID. Now they got the chips. We just got new credit cards about a month ago, Fran and I. They replaced our old credit cards, and they got these chips in them. Yeah, but still, that's not bio. But a lot of people think, oh, well, they think that's the mark of the beast. No, that's how you enforce the mark of the beast. You say you don't agree with the Roman mandate, they flick a switch, your bank account's closed, your credit cards are off, but you can't buy and sell thing one the minute they flick that switch. 10 years ago, it would take them 72, maybe 96 hours to shut you down. You could get to the bank, draw money out, you know, then you could use cash. And cash is going to disappear soon, too. It's got to. Why would they waste billions and billions of dollars on all these credit cards if they weren't planning to get rid of the cash? You can't control the cash. But you can control the cards. Digital dollars. Is it any wonder that the Liberty Dollar got raided and put down because it was a gold-based dollar? But for some reason, Bitcoin was allowed? And then now there's evidence that the government's involved with Bitcoin? See, they'll play both ends against the middle. And that makes for a lot of people to be weaved into the snare of Satan to become his prey. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, therefore God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And this is why. Sometimes you could talk to people till you're blue in the till they're blue in the face, too. And they ain't going to get it. They're just not going to get it. They can't understand a thing you're saying is because they don't want anything to do with the truth. And it can be staring them straight in the face. I don't know how many times that like these people, and bless their hearts, they try their best and they really, really believe this stuff, but you know, like the, you know, saying Jesus isn't God or the Holy Spirit doesn't exist kind of a thing. And I'll even use Ellen White to try to back it up, which is strange. They don't use scripture because all he reads is Ellen White. And they'll come at you with that. And I'm not, and this is why they like to attack me with it, because they know I'm just a novice in Ellen White. But I also have a memory to some extent, right? And I have a computer. And so you could just put in, and I found quite a few verses, I think 7 or 8, in fact, where Ellen White literally says that there are three separate persons in the Godhead. And she even says that the Holy Spirit is just as much a person as the Son of God is, as is the Father. But when you share that with them, it's as blunt as it. I mean, come on. It would be like riding down the road and it says, turn left. The person, this kind of a person would turn right. I mean, it's just so blunt. It says, turn left. Why are you going right? I mean, it's hard to fathom what's going on between their ears, but there it is. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 and 11. A strong delusion is upon them because they hate the truth. It rocks their boat. They can't smoke the marijuana. They can't drink the alcohol. They can't have premarital sex. So they will not do that. But like Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 says, they want to be called Christians. So they're going to read the Bible the way they want to read it. They're going to walk the way they want to walk. But they're going to call themselves Christians just to take away their shame. But they hate the truth because it doesn't let them do the thing. And this is why Catholicism is such a blessing, quote unquote. I'm being very, very sarcastic with that. But it's a blessing, they claim, well, for them, actually, because it allows them to think they're Christians while headed straight to hell. Now, yeah, I know there's going to be a lot of Catholics making it to heaven because their hearts are right. They just don't understand what's going on around them, and the Lord winks at their ignorance like he does ours. None of us have it all. None of us are wise enough. Even a doctor of divinity can't understand it all. So none of us can do it. But the fact of the matter is, it has to do with what's going on, you know, that 18-inch problem. A lot of people have it between the ears, but they don't have it between the ribs. They don't have it in the heart. And that's all that matters to our Father. If you understand, I mean, look at the thief on the cross. How much theology did that guy get? All he understood is who was hanging next to him. And what did Jesus tell him? Pretty blunt, huh? And that guy wasn't even baptized. Now, that's not to say that you don't have to be baptized, but we also understand Jesus was baptized for him so as to fulfill all righteousness, he told John. Because some people ain't going to make it to baptism. I don't know why, but I'd like to do a study one day in regards to baptism and really dig deep and get to the grizzle of that one. Because, I mean, I really want to understand the meat of that doctrine, because when I think of what went down on Calvary, what happened 3.5 years prior in the Jordan River, and then what happened when the people of Israel were baptized en masse. Well, what are you talking about, Matt? Well, the Red Sea split and they went through the water, didn't they? I mean, the symbology's off the chart there. So one of these days I'd like to, but I got so much stuff on the, with so many irons in the fire now, it's like, boy, I'd love it if I had a, you know, twin brother. I don't think my wife would deal with that well. There's two of you. All right, anyway, she goes on to say, those who oppose the teachings of spiritualism are assailing, not men alone, but Satan and his angels. Ain't that something? And in today's world, it's to be expected, especially now that Satan has allowed for, the Vatican to announce that Harry Potter is a blessing to behold. She says, and by the way, I didn't want, like that comment about me being a twin. I'm just thinking, don't think the bad end of that. I'm just, we all have our little jokes about how we are. And I apologize for that. So, but she says, they have entered upon a contest against principalities and powers and wicked spirits in high places. And this, by the way, makes it that much easier for us to smile while the gun's pointed at us. Because we know. It's like Stephen knew. Don't hold this sin against him. Because they know. Or Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our King, our Commander. He's hanging on the cross. Don't hold this sin against them. They know not what they do. You love them that much. They really didn't know what they... I mean, think about it. The people, or even the people that come against you in your life, or like the people that are out there making these websites and slamming me, or these videos and slamming me, and all this other stuff, or it's just all hateful. It's all it is. And if they knew what we know, if they knew Jesus, that's really all they need to do, is to know Jesus the way we know Jesus, the way he's written, and the way you meet him personally, truthfully, they would be with us on when the gun's pointed at all of us. You know what I mean? Like the, like say, the ATF is on your front lawn. If that guy pointing a gun at you knew what you knew, he'd be on the other end of the gun with you instead. You're not fighting against that flesh and blood. You're fighting against the demons in the flesh and blood. Nobody wants to go to hell. I mean, even Legion didn't want to be dealing with that anymore. I mean, I've met demon-possessed people, and I've seen demons cast out. And 100% of the time, it's like, I really didn't want to be there with that going on in me. And you don't. It's not a happy place to be. I mean, some of the lifestyles out there, homosexuality included, a lot of demonic activity. Well, especially with homosexuality. I mean, just the rainbow itself confirms it. Well, the flag, that is. But I've never met, and I met a lot of the homosexual people. Because, like I said, I worked in the loop in the 70s, before and after I got married, I believe. Because my dad's partner had a heart attack, and so was he. Well, no, I wasn't even married yet, that's right. Because he hired me at age 18. And I quit right before I got married. I could work for my dad, but not with him. It's the same thing with him. Because when I had my own business, you know, we couldn't work together. We could work for each other, but not together. You know, we both want to do the same thing. It's just weird. But, the term gay always struck me as odd because you're always miserable. They were always so miserable. Yeah, on the outside, they looked happy and giddy and all this other stuff. And gay, you know, the real definition of the word, happy and giddy. But after reading those articles that I saw years ago, full-page articles, that are never, now they would be considered illegal. The Bible, actually, is illegal in America. I remember saying it was going to be when they did what they did in Canada. Everybody thought I was crazy. I says, well, what about the Philadelphia 11? Oh, now they started to listen. But still, it was illegal. Or illegal, rather. But now it is. The Bible is illegal now. If you say the homosexuality is a sin, you can get in trouble. They can shut your business down. They can do just about anything they want. Let them have their day. That's all they're going to get. We'll take eternity. But anyway, she goes on, Satan will not yield one inch of ground except as he is driven back by the power of heavenly messengers. You know that, get thee hence, Satan? That's not just a saying you stick on a bumper sticker. That makes him flee. She says, the people of God should be able to meet him, as did our Savior, with the words, it is written. That's why it's so important to go into the scriptures. I mean, you don't literally have to have a conversation with this demon, because that's not wise. He's going to mess with you. I mean, remember what happened with Eve? She shouldn't have walked off. She should have stayed by Adam. But then Adam should have been a little bit more observant as well. You'll be having a conversation with this super intelligent angel, even though it's fallen, it's still an angel. So, but if you have the scriptures, it is written in your heart. And so whatever the temptations come, all you got to do is remember the scripture, and he's out of there. Or speak the scriptures if you want. She says, Satan can quote scripture now as in the days of Christ, and he will pervert its teachings to sustain his delusions. Those who would stand in this time of peril must understand for themselves the testimony of the scriptures. Many will be confronted by the spirits of devils personating beloved relatives or friends and declaring the most dangerous heresies. This is why I always mention dead grandma at the end of your bed. Because like I said, I mess with the manifestations, I did the conjurings, and I also have, I had friends that did things. We even photographed one once by mistake. Didn't know it until years later. Happened to be looking at the old photos and said, ooh, what's that? Looking in the window. We were on the third floor. But anyway, she says, these visitants will appeal to our tenderest sympathies and will work miracles to sustain their pretensions. We must be prepared to withstand them with the Bible truth that the dead know not anything, that they do, and that they who thus appear are the spirits of devils. And that's why I did the video. Because so many people seem to think it is their dead grandma. But the Bible says, no, she's laying it. I mean, they had that same situation going on, that problem back in the Apostles' day. Remember what went down in the book of Acts? And Peter had to literally explain to them, David is still in the grave. He has not ascended into the heavens, it says. They all thought that, I mean, come on, David was forgiven for the sins he committed. And forgiven, I mean, and he was a man after God's own heart to such extent that out of his bloodline comes Christ the Lord, right? So it's pretty obvious this man was forgiven and loved by God. But he's still in the grave, waiting for the eastern sky. But people that don't read Bibles think, well, there he is sitting at the end of my bed, 4 o'clock in the morning. What's up, Dave? It's crazy. If you just read your Bibles, it's that easy. And some people might not think it's that important because, man, I don't get any of this. But guess what? There's going to come a day when you're just walking down the road or you're on a train or on a bus or even just talking on the phone or watching a video on YouTube or something, and something will happen right in front of your face. And then John 14:26 says he'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever he has said unto you. And that verse will come through like a blast of light, and you'll realize, whoa, that's what he was talking about in 1 Corinthians, or that's what he was talking about in the book of James, or whatever the case may be. You may not think you're getting it right away, and, you know, for all intents and purposes, you may not. But he who wrote it knows where to plant it. I mean, come on, he's God. He just doesn't write Bibles and create planets just for the sake of boredom. She goes on to say that just before us is the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth, Revelation 3, verse 10. And this is why it is so, so important to get serious about your walk, because that hour is upon us. It's coming. It's screaming towards us right now. And if you're not ready, that little toehold that you've been holding on to, oh, man, you're going to get into it like it's like you've never even been a Christian. You have to get into the Bible. You have to get on your knees at least 3 times a day. I mean, I'm not saying that because it's a command or anything like that. I'm just saying Daniel did that. David did that. These guys were blessed. So why not, you know, take a lesson from the... I mean, that's why it was written. He put the Bible together in such a way as to let us know, well, this is what worked for them, and they're human just like you. So why not do it that way? So again, just before this, before us is the hour of temptation. And she says, all whose faith is not firmly established upon the Word of God will be deceived and overcome. Satan works with all deceivableness of unrighteousness to gain the control of the children of men, and his deceptions will continually increase. But he can gain his object only as men voluntarily yield to his temptations. Those who are earnestly seeking a knowledge of the truth and are striving to purify their souls through obedience, thus doing what they can to prepare for the conflict, will find in the God of truth a sure defense. You know, like putting on the whole armor of God. I mean, if you're going to go out to a battle, you're just going to wear a pair of jeans and a t-shirt? Or are you going to put on some armor? I mean, if you know how to protect your physical being, how is it your spiritual being is, oh, well, no big deal. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee, is the Savior's promise in verse 10 of Revelation. He would sooner send every angel out of heaven to protect his people than leave one soul that trusts in him to be overcome by Satan. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Right there. That's the promise. He made all of us. But you can't claim the promise if you haven't claimed the Savior. That promise is only to his people. And this is why I've been saying for decades, yeah, it's going to get scary, but mostly for the people that claim to be Christians. It's not going to be that scary for those that are Christians. Well, yeah, some of us might get, you know, killed in guillotines and or whatever the case may be, but it's not going to be scary. It's not like, I mean, think about it. They're threatening you with heaven. Now, they think it's a threat. Oh, I'm going to kill you. Okay, but my Bible says not to fear those who can kill the body. I fear with reverence he who kills body and soul in the hellfire you're headed for. So do your best. If he allows it, he'll allow it. If not, no. And when I say they threaten you with heaven, you all know what I mean about the state of the dead, just like the scripture says. Because that's why I did that video years and years ago. A good example would be King David. He's been in the grave thousands of years. When that eastern sky splits and he comes out of the grave and starts to ascend above, as far as he's concerned, he just dropped dead in his bed a couple of seconds ago. He does not remember, just like you don't remember rolling around in your bed last night if you had a dreamless sleep. Because he's definitely in a dreamless sleep. That's what the scriptures say. I mean, even their dreams, your thoughts perish. And so he's not even, you know, clear on or has no understanding as to time passing. So even though he's not in heaven yet, when it does start, it's going to be as if when he died, he instantly went to heaven. And this is the way the devil was able to manipulate that truth by saying, you do go instantly to heaven. Ye shall not surely die. That's what he's been saying since the Garden of Eden. It goes on to say that the prophet Isaiah brings to view the fearful deception which will come upon the wicked, causing them to count themselves secure from the judgments of God. Did you hear about, did you see that video I did even more years ago about them building those underground bunkers to ride out the apocalypse? They actually put that as the headline. Could you believe that? To sell these items, these huge underground bunkers to ride out the second coming. And they just did it again. They just put out another advertisement because they watch the signs of the times. And I wouldn't even put it past the fact that these guys are atheists just looking to make a quick buck. And some of these things now that they're building are millions and millions of dollars. I mean, they got underground poles and bowling alleys now. And it's just like, yeah, how well is that going to work out when that eastern sky splits, when mountains are shaking like reeds in the wind? You might think you're safe under that mountain, but guess what? He who made the mountain is coming. So it's not like you're going to have any say-so in regards to how well that bowling alley is going to be working. She says, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall come, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and utter falsehood have we hid ourselves. That's, of course, Isaiah 28:15, talking about the people that, you know, think that they're secure from the judgments of God. In the class here described, she says, are included those who, in their stubborn impenitence, comfort themselves with the assurance that there is to be no punishment for the sinner. That all mankind, it matters not how corrupt, are to be excelled or exalted to heaven, to become as the angels of God. But, and that reminds me of, you know, some of the things I've seen at gravesides. You know, Catholic priest praying a guy into heaven who was murdered for being a murderer. And he's praying him to heaven. Or the guy that, the priest that stood in front of my dad's casket. I didn't go to the funeral. I was there at the wake, and some priest decides to come out of the hiding or whatever and say a few words for the family, like an epilogue or something like that, or I don't know. But he gets up there and he starts talking about my dad. He obviously didn't know my dad. My dad was an only child, but he's up there calling him someone's brother. It was all I could do. Well, it was all Fran could do to hold me back. I wanted to go up there and I wanted to ask him to stop speaking, and I was going to start speaking. But it wasn't the right time. It was my dad's funeral. So, she goes on. But still, more emphatically, are those making a covenant with death and an agreement with hell who renounce the truths which heaven had provided as a defense for the righteous in the day of trouble, and accept the refuge of lies offered by Satan in its stead, the delusive pretensions of spiritualism. You know, it's amazing. because I knew Satanists and witches and warlocks. And yes, there's warlocks. I know there's some witches out there. They think they're high priestesses and stuff. Oh, there's no such thing as warlock. Oh, I'm sorry, there are. But in other words, they're just dabblers, not into it as deep. And I wasn't into it deep. I was a dabbler, but I knew people that weren't. But the delusive pretensions of spiritualism is pretty obvious when you look at the Satanist who inverts the cross of Christ and declares that he will reign with Satan in hell to use the pitchfork upon all those disobedient Christians and have a fun time doing so for all eternity in the fires of hell. That's so amazingly, mind-numbingly stupid, for lack of a better word. They are the ultimate, and most of our politicians are Satanists. And many in the Vatican. Well, 98% of the Vatican prelates are homosexual. That was already released about 2 years ago by the Italian press. But the thing is, a lot of them are Satanists, too, because I had that article that was put out at the Fatima 2000 Congress by that, I think it was Emmanuel Malingo, some bishop or something like that. He exposed them. He caught them having a satanic mass, conjuring Satan in the Vatican. And these guys, because now think about this. If Satan, and this is why Jesus said, don't go there. You know, like when he says, when somebody comes up, he says, Jesus is in the inner rooms or out in the desert. Or better yet, when, you know, and because this is going to happen too, because we know what the prophecies are leading towards. You got a sick loved one, let's say, and they have a friend who happened to be in the same area that Satan appears as Jesus, and he sees him heal some people, which in fact he never really does. He just has the demons that are holding on to them release them. So it looks like a healing, right? So that friend goes and tells your sick loved one, hey, man, you got to go check this out. Jesus is here, and he just healed all these people right in front of me. I saw it with my own eyes. You got to go. Jesus said, don't go there. Remember what happened with John the Apostle when he fell in the presence of that good angel in Revelation 19? Now imagine a bad angel who wants worship. The good angel said, knock it off. I'm a fellow servant just like you. Worship God and God alone, you know. Satan, he wants your worship. He's an angel. Fallen, yes, but he's still an angel and has that power. So if you disobey Christ when he said, don't go there, again, Jesus doesn't have to mince his words. He doesn't have to beat around the bush. He just said, don't go. That's all he has to say. He doesn't have to write volumes on why you don't have, why you shouldn't go, what's going to happen if you go. Just don't go. Just obey him. He's your Lord. And so, let's say someone goes. Satan's got full permission now to do whatever he wants. He'll make himself look so glorious and so beautiful that you'll think, you'll have no doubt in your mind, yeah, this being can definitely defeat Christ. Christ was just a man. Look at this guy. He's got to be 15, 20 feet tall, and there's things glowing in him. And his wings are just wafting, and the room's filled with love and just power. I could see him manifesting to some of our political leaders. Some of us have seen the testimony of John Todd, I think his name was, and he was murdered for his testimony for some of the things he saw with his own eyes in regards to the rock and roll industry, which is actually Satan's church, and all those rock and roll singers are his preachers. Ever hear some of the lyrics? Some of these guys actually prophesy. Well, it's agendizing, I guess you can call it. It's agendas, but, you know, even the devil wants to do those things, but the Lord can, of course, stop them. But my point is, I can see guys like Obama or the popes standing in the presence of this demon actually convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that if they do things that he says to do in that specific way, that he will bless them with eternal life. It's just a big lie. He's the father of lies. He can't tell the truth. And they're falling for it because he wafted his wings of love. Case in point, John Paul II buried in a trapezoidal coffin. I mean, how ridiculous is that? That's witchcraft. Guaranteed to raise you from the dead if you place yourself in a casket made out of trapezoidal wood or trapezoidal form and placed in lead and then placed in concrete, whatever. I don't know, all these different things, but he fell for it. And do you know why Pope Francis made sure that Pope John Paul II was canonized as a saint? so that he can speak from the grave. Remember the Dies Domini of 1998? Where he said Sunday laws, civil legislation that ensures you keep Sunday holy, should be enforced? Well, now that he's a saint, they can make that statement on the on national media. Say, look, Saint John, because Pope Francis already calls him Saint John Paul II. He calls him Saint John Paul II on camera. Has said we should keep Sunday holy. We should make civil legislation to keep Sunday holy. He said that in 1998 in the Dies Domini. But now that he's a saint, he's speaking from heaven. So it's no mistake, they escalated his sainthood. This guy sold the cyanide gas that killed the Jews. His family manufactured that gas. He was a Nazi criminal. And so the Vatican rat line brought him underground and hid him there, and he played the priest, a part of a priest for so many years, and did so many political fun little things behind closed doors that they made him pope. So the spiritualism thing is part of their agenda, and then let them have it. That's fine. They can do all them funny little things. And I do praise God for letting me see the things I saw in my past, because I know when it comes to Jesus Christ, these guys can't hold a candle, not even a match. They can't hold anything to him. Because I saw the things that went down in my life before meeting Jesus, and after meeting Jesus, I saw how those things didn't have any power whatsoever to affect me in any way, shape, or form after that. Even the dreams stopped. I used to have some really, really, really strange dreams before then. And, I mean, just disgusting, demonic, distorted faces stuff. And praise God, it's all gone. No more faces coming out of walls. And, you know, well, I'm not saying I was in an insane asylum or anything like that one woman was talking about. But, we thought it was a poltergeist, but it was actually a demon. So, but that's today's world. A lot of people. And here's another thing, too, and this is, and I'll close with this because we're coming up on the end of time here. The psychiatric industry is all about Revelation 18. I think it's verse 23. Sorceries is from the Greek pharmakia, which is pharmacy. These people that are having all these strange things happening in their minds, 99% of the time, it's happening to them because of demonic activity attacking them. But some doctor is going to diagnose you worthy of this pill, so as to further lock you down in that mindset to where now you can't understand certain things in Scripture. That was prophesied. It's right there in Revelation 18. And for those people that, and I've been saying that for decades, and I praise God for what happened 2 or 3 years ago. I put a page on the website all about it called Big Pharma in Rome. 2 or 3 years ago, they got caught red-handed doing something with the Canadian government and the pharmacy industry, which locked it down, in fact, to say, okay, they really are the ones that are messing with the sorceries that are messing, you know, with people all around the world. And I wouldn't even put it past them with those chemtrails up there to have some kind of, I know they got the barium and the aluminum in there for whatever reasons with the HARP, but they can dose a whole neighborhood, and we've seen that happen. The whole city gets sick. But the way it works best is if you get the flu shot. They can put the dormant, well, I'm not going to get into all that, but you know, those vaccines and stuff like that, they can put stuff in you that can be turned on or turned off. So, but I don't want to get into the conspiracy theories. That's why I don't preach about Illuminati. I don't preach about Opus Dei. I don't get into much about the Jesuits anymore, even though the Pope is one. And I go after the big guys. I just, you know, why mess with the middlemen? They're all working for the same guy. So, anyway, let me just see how much further this goes. Oh, it looks like it's going to go a couple of more pages. So let's end it here. First paragraph on page 561. If you can kneel, please do so. We'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with an opportunity to go into the truth and have a better understanding of what's happening in the world today. It's amazing how, even though this book was written over 100 years ago, that it describes things that are happening right now in our world. Thank you for letting us all be alive in these last days and letting us see these things. We could have been born hundreds or even thousands of years ago, but you allowed us to be here now. And so please keep us safe while we're here. Thank you for the hedge of angels, the forgiveness of sin, and for blessing all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that we mentioned a few moments ago in the text chat. And Father, please forgive me for taking poetic license a couple of times during the sharing tonight. I don't like it when I do that, and I'd like to ask you for forgiveness for that, because it's I don't think that's right. Because sometimes it just comes out that way. It's just the way I've always talked, and I don't think I should do that anymore. And so thank you for blessing each and every one of us with opportunity this week to share with those you send our way, because you're going to send them. We know you're going to. And thank you for watering the seeds that have already been planted by us and in us. And thank you for being with us tonight. For those of us that are on this side of the planet, on the Western Hemisphere, thank you for blessing us with good sleep tonight so we can gather for church tomorrow. And for those of us on the other side of the planet where the day is starting, thank you for blessing the Sabbath in a special way. And we offer this prayer to you. In the name of your Son, who is our Savior, King, and Commander, the Lord Jesus Christ, Creator of all things that are seen and unseen. Amen and amen and amen.